Hey everyone, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Writers at RVFTA.com.
And the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations.
About 10 years ago, we had a couple of babies and a marriage that was on the rocks.
So we bought an RV and we started camping. The rest, as they say, is history.
Join us as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to part two in our trip planner series for Manhattan, for New York City. In yesterday's episode, Carrie Cox from Travels with Birdie reviewed the Liberty Harbor Campground, which we are very generously calling a campground. Carrie said it was much more like a parking lot.
Place to park your RV while you visit New York City. It's a place to park your RV.
50 sites right across the river from Manhattan. Today, we're going to take you into the city, and Carrie's going to talk about all the things that she got to do with her family this past summer when she was in, and then Stephanie and I will throw in a few of our favorites. This is not a comprehensive guide to New York City. This is just the three of us talking about stuff that we have loved.
And I think that, like, talking to Carrie about her trip kind of inspired me to look at this more as like a first visit episode, right? Like, you know, people can get really precious about like trying to send you to all these like random places in New York City to try to be cooler. And then at the same side, like, if you look at one of the traditional guidebooks, they almost don't distill it down enough for you. And I feel like you can be completely overwhelmed and just wind up like sobbing on a bench in Central Park if you try to do too much, because I think that people look at a little map and they're like, oh, Manhattan, I can do that. And it really is just the biggest, most vibrant, bustling city you've probably ever been in. And it can be overwhelming. So I was kind of like doing my picks like first time, because I know Carrie, this was her first time with her family there. And I thought, well, let me do what I would recommend to people.
And I still love all these things.
Yeah.
So before we dive in and talk about all the things that Carrie did and all the things that her family loved while they were in Manhattan, we need to thank our sponsors. A big thank you to Jayco and a big thank you to our friends at Thetford.
Thetford has been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. And they've also been making it a less smelly experience for over 50 years. And they've certainly done that for us for the last 10 years.
So Thetford, combating boy smells
For 50 years. Not all the boy smells. I still have the smelly socks, but I do not have the smelly tanks. So if we can get across anything to our listeners, it's that when you have people recommend products that are not specifically tested and designed for RVs, you could very easily be putting products into your tanks and into your plumbing system and in your RVs that are actually breaking down the very fabric and materials that are supposed to keep the smells at bay. For instance, things like bleach can eat away at the rubber seals on the toilet, and you think you're cleaning your toilet, but you're really stripping the seal and letting smelly odors into your RV. If you stick with Thetford products, you know you're using safe things that are meant to keep your tanks in tip-top condition. And that's why we've personally used them since we bought our first pop-up camper over 10 years ago. So you want to look into, they get everything for your gray tank cleaners, freshwater tank sanitizers, tank blaster to keep your level gauges and operating condition. And of course, our favorite, the AquaChem toss-ins, because it's easy. No big deal, right? To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And as Carrie told us yesterday, getting into Manhattan from Liberty Harbor was really, really easy. So now it's time to head into the city. So Carrie, what did you do? What did you love? Tell us how you felt about this first big trip into Manhattan.
So even though I did end up with one of those moments Stephanie just mentioned where I was standing on the Brooklyn Bridge and I broke into tears because I was so exhausted, there was nothing that could compare to our first 3 days in the city. That third and a half day, fourth day, that's when I broke down.
Put you over the edge.
Those first days were amazing. So we had visited Paris and London and Chicago and San Francisco. So we feel relatively lucky to have been to some amazing places. But there is nothing like New York City. And it amazed all of us. Like, when you first get in the city, there's just this energy that is like addicting. You're just like, yes, and you want it all. And then I guess like all of those kinds of energies, you know, do eventually crash. But we bought the Frommer's Easy Guide to New York City. It had a tear out map. And I liked that feature because I could tear that out and stick it in my pocket. And then we mostly navigated on foot. So that was maybe not the smartest thing, because we ended up doing like 30 miles in 3 days, and we were pretty worn out. But we also did know that we needed to pace ourselves a little bit, because we weren't going to see into it all. You know, we
but it is such
days.
A walkable city.
It is, but
I get burning out after 3 days. But people that go, like the last time we were in the city, we walked miles and miles
because I
Central
wanted
Park.
The kids. I was showing the kids; they were old enough that I felt like I was going to show them some of my favorite places. So we walked a lot. But I just have to say, right there, one of my tips is, if you're going to do a lot of walking, walk from point A through point G, and then Uber or taxi back to point A. You know what I mean? Like, give yourself a break on the way back and splurge for those rides, because it really is. I think that puts people over the edge.
Yes. And so we just tried to go in with this open mind of not feeling like we had to do this or had to see this. We just wanted to arrive, kind of make our way around and see what we could. And so that ended up working pretty well. I felt like we saw a lot of really great things. And of course, we have tons that we could go back to see. Our absolute favorite was Central Park, of course, like just hands down. We came upon this like massive gathering of people, like having a jam in the park. And it was just like so beautiful, because it was all different kinds of musicians. They were all playing along. Different kinds of dancers would like kind of take center stage of the group and do a little dance, and the audience would join in, and everybody was clapping and smiling. And it was just one of those moments where you're just like, humanity has come together, you know? And it's so beautiful to see that. Because again, like a place like New York City, when you come from a place like Missouri, where it's like everybody knows everybody, and those cities are, you know, horrible, scary, mean places. But when you're in Central Park and there's just this humanity coming together, it was pretty magical.
It's funny you say that. Our last trip in, one of my favorite experiences was hearing like a spontaneous live performance by a jazz band in the middle of Central Park. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have world-class musicians in Manhattan that are struggling mm-hmm. to pay the rent, who go out and just kind of open an instrument case and start playing, and they're good, and they're
I
really
good.
I love
Central
good.
Park. It's one of my favorite
Central
places
Central Park is magnificent, and a lot of people have this concept of Central Park as this dirty and dark and dangerous place, and that's a very outdated
I have
notion.
Some other Central Park recommendations on my list, so stay tuned for when it's my turn. All right, what else did you love, Carrie?
Well, and of course, there's the can't miss Times Square. We've seen nothing like it. Like, even we've been to Las Vegas, and Las Vegas can't even compare to Times Square. We were walking, and of course we just kept walking. We're like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know, where, because you don't really know exactly where Times Square is. And then there was just this moment where we're like, oh yeah, we're there.
There it is. So, there it is. There just it like is. It looks like on TV, right? Yeah.
Did you get your picture taken with the naked cowboy?
You know, I took his picture. I didn't want to get really close to the naked cowboy or feel obligated to tip him. So.
You didn't want to put that money in there. Yeah. So I think this is one of my theories on like touristy things. Like, you know, the Times Square is the ultimate tourist spot, right? But if you go to New York City and you don't see Times Square, like, you've kind of missed a big part of what makes New York, New
you
York.
You just need to spend 20 minutes to, like, to get it, you know?
Right, and we actually spent a little more time there because we brought the boys to the Stardust Diner where they sing and everything. But they're little,
that
and I wanted
cool.
them to have, like, a wow moment and everything.
They did. They
and
loved
they
it.
Did. They loved it. So you can spend as little or as much time in Times Square as you like.
And everything is, like, there's so much right there that you, I mean, like, you couldn't even not go there, it seems like, because you're, you know, all of these other places are near, you know, so close, and you're just wandering around if you're like us seeing things. And we just love, because, you know, New York City is one of those places you see in movies, you see on television. I grew up watching Sesame Street, so I kind of felt like, I don't know, like, I felt like New York City was what every other place in the world was like, because that's what it looked like on Sesame Street. And so, you know, like, Central Park felt familiar to me because of that. And then, of course, Times Square feels familiar because you just see it on everything. So it was just really cool to be there and be like, I've seen this on TV 1,000 times. And from there, we headed over to the top of the rock at Rockefeller Center. So we were trying to decide, you know, you have a lot of choices and observation decks in New York City. And we decided on top of the rock because we read that it had good reviews of good views of Empire State Building and Central Park. And the online reservations were timed a little differently. It seems like some of the other places, like you have to go and get in line. And we didn't want to deal with a line, and they had maybe a timed admission. And so that was our really, really big splurge in the city, because it did end up costing almost $200. But it was worth it because we got to go to the top. And
that's my favorite. I think that that observation, I've done that, and I've done the Empire State Building, and I like the Rockefeller
and
better.
I have not been to the top of either, and I've spent my entire life.
I'm
going to
wait
till
the boys are a little older, and then we'll go.
Can maybe this summer, can we do
maybe.
One?
Maybe. I always like, if I'm going to splurge on one of those ticket things, I want to make sure they remember it.
I'll treat.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so I think you made a good choice with that. And then you guys spent a day at Liberty Park, right?
Yeah, and so Liberty Harbor RV Park isn't too far from Liberty State Park, which is one of the places where you can catch the ferry to go over to Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island. You can also catch that ferry in Manhattan, or you can mix and match. Like, you could start at Manhattan, take it over, and then end up in the Liberty State Park. Well, anyway, make sure if you do this that you allow plenty of time, because it really is a half day, if not longer, experience, because there's a lot more to it. You just think, oh, we're going to go see a statue. How long is that going to take? But by the time you ride the ferry to the statue, then you ride a ferry to Ellis Island and then back, you know, there's lots of ferry riding, lots of waiting on the ferry in between. And then Ellis Island was just so much more fascinating than we even had expected. And so the whole experience that day of Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island, you know, again, we don't always go for those touristy things. And we kind of discount, like, whether or not they're going to be touching and worthwhile. And Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island totally were. It's like, they made you proud to be an American.
Yeah, and Ellis Island, they redid the entire museum there just a few short years ago. And it is definitely an emotional experience. To me, I think that it just takes you through the story. Like, I have gone there on class trips, and of course you're more interested in like watching the kids. You know, growing up around here, you always go when you're a kid and everything. I was always, as a teacher, more interested in making sure I didn't lose any kids. And I would still tear up every time. Yeah. You know, it was just like, to me, a very, I agree, it's a very touching experience.
Time for us to take our boys
I know. It's so funny. Our boys go all over and around home. I just wait on certain things. I'm like, oh, well, we've got time. I want to wait till they're old enough.
Right. Well, we really loved it. And I recommend, we didn't get to go up into the crown of the Statue of Liberty because you have to book that months and months and months in advance. Like, I feel like I looked pretty far out and they were already booked. So if you want to go up into the crown, you need to book that a long time in advance and be prepared. They have lots of details on their website about, you know, what things are allowed in the building and then how difficult it is to get up to the crown. But we didn't at all feel like we missed out by not being able to. Statue of Liberty is still impressive from the outside and looking up at her. So it was pretty cool.
All right. Now you, those are the places that you guys really spent a lot of time in and that you loved. You did a couple of whirlwind visits to a couple of other locations.
Yeah, we swung through the MoMA, and Frommer's had tipped us off that there was a free night, like once a month or once a week, and so we decided that we could save $100 by going during the free time. The only bad thing is it was crazy crowded. You could barely walk, but it, you know, you could still at least peek through the crowd to see, you know, Van Gogh's and whatever. We also stumbled upon the New York Public Library, and I hadn't like intentionally set out to go there. But again, it was one of those oddly cool things when you stumble upon it, you're like, oh, I've seen those lions on, you know, my bookmarks or whatever. And they had a Walt Whitman exhibit inside. So we went inside and of course bought lots of library souvenirs like a former librarian would do. And then just see all the other places from the outside. I mean, I know it sounds weird, but like seeing, you know, seeing studios where like, oh, that's where they film such and such and all of that. So my only thing I would say what not to do is don't be stubborn and walk everywhere like we did. I didn't want to deal with learning the other subway after we had figured out the PATH subway. And so I didn't want to figure out the New York City subway. And I also didn't like, we haven't ever Ubered because we don't have, I mean, maybe we have it in our town. But anyway, we just haven't been somewhere where we've used the Uber. And of course, I've never really taken taxi cabs. So I was stubborn and was just like, we're fine. We can walk. And
you ended up crying on the Brooklyn Bridge.
We walked and walked and walked. And the Brooklyn Bridge, you know, like, it's at a slant. And so we're walking uphill in the sun. And I keep telling my family, I'm like, I'm hitting my point. I know I'm hitting my wall. I need to sit down. I'm hitting my wall. But they're like, no, we're almost there. We're almost there. So we get up on the bridge. And finally, my husband's like, okay, turn around for a picture. And I turn around, and then my face just crumbles. I start sobbing. So we have this picture of me, like, mid-sob as we finally made it to the Brooklyn Bridge, but mom was done. So
the city can do that to you, Karen.
See, I don't spend any more than 2 days honestly, in this,
you know, what's
funny?
We go in all the time for a day, and usually I think we're both pretty happy to go home at night.
I'm because fine, yeah.
There is an overwhelming aspect to New York City. There absolutely is.
Some people feed off the energy, but I kind of lose my energy after a while.
I always tell Stephanie, like, oh, let's go in and spend the night and get a hotel room. And she's like, no, we'll just go in for the day. I want to be back in my own bed at night. All right.
So I have to say about Liberty Harbor that no matter how, like, ungrade of a campground it was, we really appreciated being able to go back home to our trailer after the busy day in the city, because it's just so much hustle and bustle and nitty gritty. And it was so nice to go home to our own bed and our own food and just, like, relax in our own space. So even if Liberty Harbor wasn't the world's best campground, Birdie was the world's best place to sleep after a city day.
All right. Well, we're going to come back 1 second, and Stephanie and I are just going to share some of the absolute things that we love to do when we go into Manhattan. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
Jayco has helped generation after generation create family memories since 1968. Offering travel trailers, fifth wheels, toy haulers, Class C and Class A motorhomes, it's easy to find the perfect Jayco for your family. With an industry-leading 2-year limited warranty, beautiful design, and innovative safety features, you can be confident in your Jayco. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
All right. Stephanie and I do not have enough romantic traditions that we do every year, and I'll take the blame for that. But one of them is every fall we go in, we take a day while the boys are at school, and Stephanie and I go into the city and we walk the High Line. It is possibly my absolute favorite thing to do in Manhattan. So the question is, what's the High Line to the uninitiated? So the High Line's it's actually a public park that's built on a historic freight rail line. It's elevated above the streets on Manhattan's west side.
And if people are familiar with, like, the L, right, in Chicago, or the trains that run above ground in some other cities, that's what this is built on.
Beautiful views of the city below you, and yet you feel kind of apart from the chaos of the city, which, you know, Carrie was really mentioning.
And it's beautifully landscaped. They've done an amazing job on the gardens.
There's lots of
luxury apartments all around it, so you kind of, like, get to, you know, have fun looking at the architecture of New York City,
too. Like Stephanie said, beautiful flowers. There's a lot of art along the way. Mm-hmm. There's sculpture. There's beautiful buildings all around. There's not much shopping on it, but there's places to get coffee, like Blue Bottle Coffee, which we love. And it's just kind of a meandering mile and a half walk that you just kind of really kind of take your time and, you know, just stroll along, and you can really soak in the city. And it's just a lot more relaxing because you're not at street level.
Yeah.
It's just something
magical
about that.
And it's on the lower west side, just to situate everybody, down in the Chelsea area. And it starts off right at Chelsea Market. Is that another one of your favorite things?
Yeah, it runs from Ganzevoort Street to 34th Street. And then about halfway there is the Chelsea Market at ground level. And the Chelsea Market's also kind of this very, like, romantic, wonderful New York institution. It's an indoor marketplace. So if it's a bit chilly up on the High Line and you walk the High Line, it's really nice then to go into Chelsea Market, and there is some of the best food in Manhattan.
It's become a little commercialized, I would say, over the last 10 years, especially with the Food Network kind of, like, becoming more of the scene.
Sure, it's not
there.
As rough and rugged.
It used to feel more like street food, but you can still get amazing
food.
You
can still get street food, but it's very polished and pretty and clean inside. You used to have to wait in line
to get
in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah, to, like, little porta potties.
To these junky little bathrooms. And now they've done quite a lot of work on it, so it's really nice. But a couple of our favorite places to eat, Los Tacos number one. I mean, I don't know if I've ever had tacos.
Didn't you go get tacos?
That's what she needed on the Brooklyn Bridge.
If you had had tacos and done the High Line instead of the Brooklyn Bridge, you wouldn't have cried, I promise.
I wanted to go to the High Line, but in my walking path, it was too much of a walk to get to.
It was just more walking.
It was more walking.
We also love the pastries at Sarah Beth's. That's a really famous place. There's usually always a line. We like the seafood at the Lobster Place. And there's a really charming independent bookstore there. And this summer, I had a really wonderful experience with Stephanie. We actually got to go into Manhattan and meet the editor of our next book, See You at the Campground. And we got to meet her in person and have lunch with her. And it's kind of like, you know, my 12-year-old boy's dream of having an editor and going into Manhattan and meeting your editor.
Is that 12-year-old boy's dream?
That was what I dreamed about when I was 12, of publishing a book. Maybe it was like my 15-year-old boy's
Carrie's
dream.
Going to the public library and buying souvenirs. You're meeting your editor. We're nerding out here on the RBI.
I loved every
some
second
people go
of
to
it.
Broadway. Some people, you know.
And our editor bought us lunch.
I know. So notice how there's no Broadway shows on this episode.
If she's listening, thank you for lunch.
All right. Anything else on your list? Or was that it? Is that your favorite?
I mean, like you've said, and like Carrie said, you could go on forever.
I know.
Manhattan.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Just
I'll jump into my
highlights.
So I wanted to do a quick, like, a walk in Central Park. That's my favorite. Because it's just, I think that sometimes people are like, go to Central Park. And then it's like, well, okay, what do I do here? It's big, right? So there's two different ways that I love to walk through Central Park. One starts on the Upper East Side, and one starts on the Upper West Side. So if you want to start on the Upper West Side, you can start at the American Museum of Natural History, which is an amazing place to go with kids. It's just a phenomenal museum, super fun. And then right at the museum, you walk down the park and you can go down past the lake, and that's what it's called, the lake. And that's where there's all these climbing rocks and everything
people
for the kids.
There.
Yeah, you can spend a lot of time at the lake and the kids will love rock scrambling.
It's pretty,
good pictures
it's
there.
Kind of pretty.
It's very natural. And then you're going to go past there. And you are going to go to Strawberry Fields, right? Because you have to visit Strawberry Fields and get a picture, you know, there if you're into the Beatles and John Lennon and everything.
There's always like a group of people there, like paying tribute to John
Lennon. No, I think it's a touching place. I'm very touched by Strawberry Fields. And then you can walk down to the Central Park Carousel if you've got kids and let them go on the historic like carousel there. And then go to the Heckscher Playground that's right down there near the carousel, which is my favorite playground in Central Park. There's a lot of them, but this one is an incredible playground. It feels like it's built into the geography of the park, like rocks everywhere and just really natural play places.
If you've got little kids, grab a coffee and plan on spending 2 hours there.
Carrie needed to relax at the playground while her kids scrambled all over the place.
I did get my like best waffle ever there in Central Park.
Was it in like a road, like a food truck?
So it was in one of those like carts parked in the park. You know, there's all the horse-drawn carriages going by and there was a cart. And my family makes fun of me because I never let them buy treats. But when I saw the Belgian waffle cart, I was like, I'm in. And so I had to buy that for myself. And somewhere later they got a treat that they liked, but the Belgian waffle was my one foodie pick. I never have foodie picks, but find yourself a Belgian waffle in Central Park.
All right. Now, my second recommendation is another kind of walk. And we're recording this now. I want this to be good for you no matter when you listen. But we happen to be recording around the holiday season. And I have to say, as much as New York City is crowded during the holiday season, it is truly magical. Everything you see in the movies and everything, I really think is true. So I'm just going to tell you what I think is a really nice walk to do, like a little path. I think you should start at the Rockefeller Tree because everybody needs to selfie with the Rockefeller Tree.
It is magical.
Just so much fun. Now, there's the ice rink there, but I recommend not waiting in line for the ice rink there and doing it somewhere else, and I'll tell you that in a minute. So now you can walk from the Rockefeller Tree in the Rockefeller Center there down Fifth Avenue, and that's where you're going to see all of those windows, Saks Fifth Avenue, Bloomingdale's, Macy's. You're going to like just sit there, and yes, it's going to be crowded, but ignore the crowds and just look at the magical windows that are all decorated, and even if you're a Grinch about Christmas, you're going to love that walk down Fifth Avenue. And then you're going to wind up just maybe like 6 or 7 blocks south, you're going to wind up in Bryant Park. And they have a great winter village in Bryant Park with all of the little shops and everything, with really fun jewelry and handmade wares and everything.
Signs.
And I love the Bryant Park winter village. And then on top of that, at Bryant Park, there's another ice skating rink. So you can go ice skating there. I think the lines are generally a lot less.
They're just shorter.
It's a little not as overwhelming as Rockefeller.
And if the lines
is.
Are too long, there's all the places to kind of walk around and window shop.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, this is very much of a holiday walk. But at the same time, of course, when I was there with my kids in the spring, we walked from Rockefeller down Fifth Avenue to Bryant Park also, right? It's always a nice little short walk in there. But at Christmas time, that's my go-to. And I can't, we're bringing the boys there this holiday season to do some of my favorite holiday stops in the city.
Carrie, it was really wonderful meeting you last spring / early summer on this trip. And I'm so thankful you were able to get in, you know, see New Jersey, see our neck of the woods, and also able to get into Manhattan and really enjoy that experience.
We loved it. We were so glad because it's, you know, all of that. There's so much history, so much energy, culture, and you guys. So, I mean, it was just such a fun trip.
New York City and us. I mean, come on. It doesn't get any better. All right. Well, we're here the next time you make it up. But we know we really do owe you a visit down there.
And we meant it. You can leave your RV here if you need to.
I know. It's true. Kind of. I mean, we can make room. We clearly have made room for multiple RVs up till now. Nobody seems to care yet in our neighborhood. It's that kind of neighborhood. We're lucky. All right, Carrie. We'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas. And a big thanks to the sponsors of this show, Jayco, Bass Pro Cabela's, Thetford, Go Power, and Go RVing. We appreciate their support in creating educational and inspirational RV content.
You can also find links to everything mentioned in this episode over at rvfta.com, plus hundreds of blog posts on everything from gear recommendations to our favorite camping recipes.
If you enjoy our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen, and make sure to get social with us on Facebook at The RV Atlas and on Instagram at Jeremy and Stephanie. Plus, we've got the friendliest campers around in our private Facebook group, so check it out.
Until next time, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Stephanie.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.